again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay, the price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive, don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel,
that old wheel.
Good morning and welcome to, on February 1st, to the Radio Ranch. This is Coffee with the Wranglers, and we are here. The sun is just, God has given a beautiful pre-sunrise. Boy, the colors in the sky are beautiful this morning. And we welcome you here this morning, February 1st, the calendar year 2020. And it's a cold and blustery morning here at the Radio Ranch, about 30 mile an hour winds out of the west, just rattling the windows, but we're glad to be here, and we've got a full crew for you, the remnant, this morning, and we're going to bring them on. And Brother Tim from Nebraska, good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And Brother Jonathan, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
We do thank you, the remnant, for being with us as well. We welcome you. We'll have the phone lines open. Jason, I'm going to say thank you for getting your phone system down here, the Stack 6, so we can take callers. And I want to thank you for doing that. And we thank you, the remnant, for tuning in. We will have the phone lines open, 307-745-5913, if you want to give a call this morning. Lots going on. Lots going on behind the scenes. Locally, internationally, it seems like there's just never a dull moment. But our Lord is still on the throne, and we still worship Him, and He is still the center, and the glasses that we wear when we see everything else. And so, Jason, we're going to ask you if you would open us up in prayer, and then we'll just see where we go from there.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing upon this program this morning. We ask for your blessing upon your people across this land, Father. We pray that you protect them from the hands of our enemies and those who hate us and those that conspire against us and from the deadly pestilence that lurks across this land, Father. We pray that you just strengthen your people, encourage your people, allow them to smile at the future, Father. We pray, Father, that you just guide us and direct us in all that we do, Father. We pray that you are first and foremost in our lives. Father, we pray that you forgive us of our sins, known and unknown, and that you guide us and direct us so that we can escape the destruction to come. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you just that you're just continue to guide your people and let them know that you're there and let them find refuge in you, Father. We pray all the promises of Psalms 91 upon your people. And we ask, Father, that you just do a mighty work. We're thankful that we can call you the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Father. And we just ask that you just use us. We say, lift up our hands and we say, here we are, Heavenly Father. Use us in any way that you see fit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
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 Yep. Well, again, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning. It is February 1st, starting a new month. Time waits for no one. It marches on. And as long as we have the day, we are going to continue to work and continue to proclaim the praises of our Heavenly Father and our Savior Jesus Christ. And phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. And well, John, we've all got a little something to bring this morning, I thought, but I just thought I'd ask you if you had anything you wanted to start with this morning.
Well, I just want to remind people the how important it is for us to be praying Psalms 91, the warrior psalm, every day. As Jason mentioned, basically part of it says, for it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. And then, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. Those are two pretty important promises that God's given us in Psalm 91 that we need to claim if we are His.
Amen.
And, I just wanted to remind the people to make sure that you're praying that every day. We do have bookmarks, really nice bookmarks, laminated Psalm 91 bookmarks, and if you call or if you put an order in for anything or send a donation, we'll send you one of those Psalm 91 bookmarks as well. The other thing I saw this morning was, you know, we talked about the Virginia politicians passing all of this gun control stuff and how there was that big uprising and all that. Well, it didn't take them long just to get right back to business. Not everybody who's working, which is seems to be less of the population these days, can take every weekend off to go and defend their right to bear arms, which is not to be infringed upon according to the Second Amendment. But anyways, now they've come to the point where they're passing laws that it's illegal to criticize them or the laws that they're making. And I just thought that was significant. This is HB 1627 in Virginia. It says, threats and harassment of certain officials and property venue provides that certain crimes relating to threats and harassment may be prosecuted in the city of Richmond if the victim is the governor-elect, lieutenant governor-elect, attorney general or attorney general-elect, a member or employee of the General Assembly, a justice of the Supreme Court of Virginia, or a judge of a court of the appeals of Virginia. In addition, threats to damaged property may be prosecuted in the city of Richmond if the property is owned by the Commonwealth and located in the Capital District. And then, you know, people say, well, it can't happen in our state. Guess again. So this is how, this is their blueprint for taking over states. First, they took over the legislature by redrawing the districts and dumping in millions of dollars from out of state. Then they began changing the rules so that they can't be recalled. Imagine that. Then they began imposing draconian gun control measures and then set about making laws so that you cannot criticize the unconstitutional laws that they're passing. And so pretty much that's the game plan, and we need to be wise as serpents, and we need to be watchmen over the house of Israel and watching in our own communities that these things aren't taking place, because they are trying to redraw lines for voting all over in different states. And I just thought it was interesting that these, they're so scared of the people that they're trying to rule, basically, that they have to try to pass laws that they can't say anything bad about them. And if you read into it, it's emails or anything. You know, if you cuss at them in an email or something like that, then you're guilty. And it's a class one misdemeanor, and then it just goes up from there. But those are the times we're living in.
You know, John, that reminds me of a pastor had preached on it, George Orwell, in his books, you know, 1984. But another one I think he did was The Barnyard, where they say, yeah, you know, all the animals in the barnyard are equal. Some are just more equal than others. And see, that's what that does, is it goes back to creating a different class to where I can criticize my employer. I can criticize the guy on the street, but you can't criticize the mayor or the governor. See, they're a protected class because, I hope everybody sees that this is directed at white Christians, is exactly where that's directed at. I hope you see that, people. It's not directed at the blacks that are destroying property owned by the Commonwealth when they riot. Okay? It's not directed at them. It's not directed at them that you know, are out there, yo, mofo, yo, dobo. No, it's not directed at them. It's directed at the peaceful assembly, at the rights that are outlined in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights for white Christian America. That's who it's addressed to, that you can't criticize. So I hope, Remnant, I hope you see that. I hope you have those eyes to see. And as you said, John, if there's ever been a time for prayer, because you're right, people can't take every weekend off. People can't. These things are done in secret, and you just can't have 20 or 30,000 people show up every weekend or every Friday or Monday at the house to protest these things. But it's more of the attack of the left against the right, and the evil just does not stop. It will not stop on its own.
No, and a couple couple of quotes that I really liked are the first one's by Andrew Fletcher, and it says, "Arms is the only true badge of liberty. The possession of arms is the distinction of a free man from a slave." And the second one that I got here is from Thomas Jefferson. It says, "The strongest reason for the people to retain their right to keep and bear arms is as a last resort to protect themselves against tyranny in government."
Absolutely.
Thomas Jefferson also said, "No free man shall ever be debarred the use of arms. The strongest reason for the people to retain the right to keep and bear arms is as a last resort to protect themselves against tyranny in government." So, I mean, Thomas Jefferson he was no dummy. He was somebody that really understood that the reason that you keep and you bear your arms is to protect yourself against a tyrannical government. And
no,
when they come to
try to go
your firearms, your arms away, you know, that's the beginning of tyranny. And, you know, you look at what's happened throughout history and what's happened to other countries. I mean, you know, the last thing that they wanted to do, what happened over in Russia and the Czech Republic and, you know, basically all those communistic countries, that they gave up their firearms. You know, they said that we gave up our firearms in the name of peace, you know, under basically a white flag calling for peace. We wish that was the biggest mistake we ever did, because when the communists took over, they had no way of protecting themselves, and they said that they used clubs and pitchforks and hammers, and they would have been able to stop the communistic takeover if they had held on to their guns. But that was the first thing that they gave up.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep. Well, it reminds me of the old story about Pastor talked about it years ago, as far as giving up the, you know, they fluoridate the lion's water so that he's more tame and easy to handle. But, you know, if that doesn't work, or the next thing you probably want to do is just declaw him and get rid of that. And if that doesn't work eventually, well, you just put him down, you know, but you got to get rid of, it's such an incremental thing. And, they have no problem with that. I mean, we've seen that. History is such a strange thing. If you look back, it's just so odd. If it goes on, it's not hard to see what happens when they take all that stuff away. One of my quotes as far as this business with them being scared to death and taking away our right to speech and our right to defense, and, you know, it's like you're going to do it and you're going to like it. And so they want to take that all away. But Isaiah 10:1-2 says, "Woe to those who enact evil statutes and to those who constantly record unjust decisions so as to deprive the needy of justice and rob the poor of my people of their rights." You know, so that the widows may be their spoil and that they may plunder the orphans. So, anyways, third day, and then it goes on to talk about what he's going to do to them. So, but it ties right in with what everybody's saying and all the other quotes. It's a free people thing to be able to speak your mind. And to be armed, you know, and being peaceful is, you have to be capable of great harm in order to be considered peaceful. You know, if you're not capable of great harm and peaceful, you're just a weak person. You're not peaceful. So, it's...
What's interesting, I think, too, is, like, they passed these stupid laws, like this one from 1993 to 2012. Virginia had a one handgun a month law that rationed the number of handguns law-abiding gun owners could purchase to one a month. But the thing people don't understand is shall not be infringed upon. It's the camel's nose under the tent.
Yes.
You may think that one's stupid, right? But you let them pass that. And when we let them pass these stupid ones, then they just continue to progress and progress. It's just like everything else. And if nothing else, they go three steps forward and two steps back, but they still made one step towards communism and socialism. So I think those are the things we need to be leery of. I mean, because most people would read that and say, oh, one handgun a month, that's no big deal, piece of cake, you know?
Right.
But they shall not be infringed upon, period. End of story. That's it.
So what happens if you want to buy two? Big deal.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, it's just...
I know.
The problem is we give in on the...
They've got a legislation, the same thing. It's like, you know, if they can't get the firearms and they want to get the ammo, and it's like, oh, you know, and people, they talk about, oh, you can, you know, a person shouldn't be able to have over 1,000 rounds of ammunition. Well, 1,000 rounds of ammunition, it ain't nothing, you know, especially when it comes to 22 and it's 550 rounds in a box, you know? And,
right.
You know, I mean, they make that sound, and they make it sound like 1,000 rounds is all. And they can, they come out, they can be all dramatic about it, about how much ammo that is. Well, geez, I mean, you know, they didn't grow up in the time that I did, when you could go out and shoot 550 rounds in a day, you know? And you stopped because the box was empty. I mean, it was...
That's right.
That's what we did when we were growing up. That's what, you know, that was what our family entertainment was. That's what, you know, that's what kept kids out of trouble, was going out and shooting 22s.
Yeah, and they've already got the... They have those laws passed in states like Illinois and the northeastern states, where you have to have your good guy ID card, and they call them that, a good guy card, and you have to have that to buy ammunition. You know, and they try to pass that in other states and other places, but they've been very successful in some states. You have to be registered, and you know the driver's license isn't enough. More ID, more checks to buy ammo in certain states, and it's like you mentioned in Virginia, John. It's the camel with his nose under the tent. It's a start, and then pretty soon they just we've suspended it for now, for this weekend. We've suspended sales, or your ID is no longer valid, and then you're out, and then you're gonna hope you got 1,000 rounds or 10,000 rounds when you can't go buy it anymore.
Yeah, you know,
I like this quote. It says, "You may not like guns, that's your right. You may not believe in God, that's your choice. But if someone breaks into your home, the first two things you are going to do are number one, call someone with a gun. Number two, pray they get there in time."
That's right.
Yeah, I like that too.
Amen.
You know, typically we
we follow the concealed carry laws for the states, right?
Yes.
And then we see which ones are repercussed or whatever it is, repercussity or something. But the big thing now is in Virginia as well, is they're letting all of these counties make their own laws so that some are, it's legal to carry, some it's not. And then what they're trying to do is just curb people from concealed carry. You know, because if you get caught in one of those counties, maybe the one right next to you that passed some kind of a law that you can't conceal carry or whatever it is, then, you know, you're basically, some of them are felony, just like, you know, in New York and New Jersey and things like that. So what they're trying to do is just curb people from conceal carry. But there's 9 more laws that they tried to reenact right after that weekend of protest when they had, I think it was over 20,000 show up.
Yes.
You know, the interesting thing is they say that there was, I don't know, 5,000, I guess, within the barriers, you know, right in close to the legislation into the Capitol and all that. And they were unarmed, but apparently there was drones above, you know, for the Virginia Commonwealth or whatever. And then, but what they don't realize or point out is the fact that the 15,000 outside of those barriers were carrying guns and stuff. So there was really nothing that they could do to the 5,000 that were in their gun-free zone, because the 15,000 outside the gun-free zone would have made sure that nothing happened.
Good point. Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks,
man, the Second Amendment doesn't really, the Second Amendment doesn't really give us any rights, and we know this, and so do probably most people listening, but there might be someone new there who's mulling things over. It's worth saying it doesn't give us any rights. God gave us those rights. The Second Amendment simply tells the government what they can't do. And
right.
It says, like John already said, you know, shall not infringe. So it's just like, you guys leave that alone, you know. So, and we talk about disobedience all the time, and they are absolutely disobedient. I mean, we talk about insanity being doing the same thing over and over again with the same results, and it doesn't matter how often we go and make our wants and our wishes known and show them what we want. They continue to do the same thing. They just continue to put these things forward and everything. And clinically, they're insane. I mean, aren't they? They kind of, so it's just one of those things.
Yes.
Well, they're not hiding it anymore. It's like we said, it's, you know, used to be the frog in the pot of water, and they're turning it up a degree at a time, and it kind of feels good. Oh yeah, that warm water feels good. But now, I mean, they got that gas cranked up full speed, you know, full heat, and people are jumping out of the water pretty quick, which I think is a good thing.
Yes.
Yeah, and one of the reasons they're scared to death is they see that different parts of their house of cards are falling apart. You know, overseas in England, the Brexit deal. We've been talking about that. They voted for it 3 years ago for the UK, for England to leave the European Union, and they voted for it. Of course, it's been a process. For 3 years, it's been going on, and they've tried to stop it. You know, certain people they've elected different officials and whatnot. It passed again right toward the end of the year. It passed, and I had the numbers here. The UK Parliament voted again yes to Brexit, 621-49, and the leader of the Parliament there, she was trying to bring it back to order, and the people that voted for it were waving their England, their flags of the UK, not the EU, flag with the stars, but the England flag, the Union Jack. And they didn't like that at all. The leader of the Parliament, you know, was put your flags away. Put your flags away. You can't fly those. And uh, it was it was pretty awesome. They one of the quotes that came out of it was, "We love Europe, but we hate the UK. We love Europe. I'm sorry. We love Europe, but we hate the EU. We hate the European Union." And you know, people are awakening to that, to what is going on, even over there. And then as they marched out after they'd voted, you know, of the final affirmation for Brexit, they were singing "Auld Lang Syne," you know, that the people sing on New Year's Eve, and it's, you know, "May old times not be forgotten." And so, anyway, it was just encouraging to see that. Not much reported on it, but the enemies of Christ, the enemies of our people, they are scared to death because these things are happening, because they are. And you know, what they've done in the past, the spells they've cast in the past, the control that they've had, they just don't have it anymore. Revelation 2 verses 3 through 5 comes to mind. I'll read it real quick. It says, "You have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary, but I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent." And so there is a remembrance that we are to have, and I think that these people in with this Brexit vote, that they have remembered that they once had a great country and they don't anymore, and they're trying to get back to it. And I think with these quotes that you mentioned, Jason, from, you said it was Andrew Fletcher, was that quote?
Yeah, one of them.
I'm going to look that one up. I really like that one. And of course the Jefferson's quote, you know, that no free man will be barred from wielding firearms to protect him and his family and his home and his county and his state and his land from tyranny. We do have to, as Revelation 2, 3 through 5 said, remember from where you've fallen. That's where we were at one time as a people. And we have fallen from that. Like you mentioned, John, remember that we are to be watchmen on the walls, that we are to warn about these things, and we haven't. To the degree that we should have, but we remember that, and we're returning to that.
What's interesting is you can understand why they hate Trump so much, the New World Order group, the elitists, and because this is not only affecting America. These things have affected the world, and people are starting to see, well, wait a minute, if the U.S. can break free from the bondage that they've been under for all of these years, then why can't we? And that's why they've pulled out all the stops to try to stop Donald Trump or take him out. You know, and anymore it's just a temper tantrum, and they don't even lie about it. They're like, well, we just don't want him in position of power. You know,
yeah.
It's got nothing to do with any law or anything. You know, even if they change the laws and try to make it where he's guilty, basically they just say, well, we just don't want him to be in a position of power.
That's right.
You know, it's comical, really.
Yeah, it's hard for them to fight against when you see people in Hong Kong that are fighting you know, communism and are fighting rule by the Chinese, when you see those people waving American flags and giving quotes like, hey, we need the Second Amendment, things like that in Hong Kong. And then you contrast that with some of the snowflakes here, you know, the idiots that are waving communist flags. But those numbers have gone down quite a bit, I think. They're not quite as brazen as they once were. But you're right, John. It's not just here in the heartland. It's not just in New York City. It's not just in Southern California. This permeates all over the world. And the destroyers, they hate that. They hate it.
Well, let me tell you something. That if they can't rule, if they don't have power, they will destroy everything that they can.
Yes.
They would rather destroy this country, destroy the world, than give power over to a God-fearing Christian nation once again. Because you think about it, how close were they to actually taking over the world? They were pretty close. One president away, pretty much, from at least taking over this country, which would have spread like wildfire. But the bottom line is, God gave us a window of opportunity 3 years ago, a little over 3 years ago, and that's it, that window is closing. And more than ever, it's time for his people who are called by his name to repent, turn from their wicked ways, and cry out to God for as an appeal to heaven to save America again. I mean, there's nothing's changed. In fact, the call is even greater than it was the last time, because the enemy, their back's against the wall. I was talking to some people last night, and they can't believe that somebody would release the coronavirus on purpose. And I go, what are you talking about? Have you ever looked at the Georgia Guidestones, which is the Ten Commandments for the Antichrist, basically? And the first commandment is the reduction of population. They don't care.
No.
And I'll tell you what, they would release that virus just to try to thwart what's going on with their empire crumbling. That's the truth.
Absolutely. It's an old warfare technique from asymmetric warfare back a long time ago called poisoning the well. I mean, and, you know, if you can't win a scorched earth policy, leave them, you know, leave nothing. I mean, it's just another temper tantrum, like you said, John, but that's the way they work. They don't have any, they don't lose graciously. There's no sportsmanship involved. It's just a destructive tendency, and the Bible talks about it. They're not asleep to their destruction, and they don't care whether they leave themselves anywhere to go. They just want to destroy. So it's foreign to our mind.
Yeah, the UN, the United Nations, just came out with a policy that's basically, I think the title is, to combat the four horsemen. So, you know, they understand, just like Dad always told us, the enemy understands the Bible better than most Christians, and I believe that 100%. And, you know, they have the United Nations coming up with a policy to combat the four horsemen scenarios. Basically, what they're saying is, if we don't, you know, act right now against climate change and all that, then all of these plagues, all of these things that the Bible talks about of the four horsemen, are going to take place. Well, they are taking place. In fact, I don't know if you saw this, but billions of locusts are threatening Africa right now. Swarms the size of cities and devouring everything in their path. Each one of those little bastards eats its weight each day. And when the rainy season comes, that's when they breed. And they're saying it could be 500 times worse in just a few months, and could cause, I mean, they're basically calling it a biblical plague of these locusts that are started in East Africa and working their way through the region. So we're witnessing biblical events, you know, and it's just like the birth pangs, right? The birth pains of a woman in labor, they become stronger and closer together, and we're witnessing the same thing. We're seeing these birth pangs, P-A-N-G-S, becoming closer together and more intense as time continues to go on.
Last Tuesday, it didn't make much of the news. I don't know if you saw it, but they had an earthquake down between Jamaica and Cuba, 7.7 on the Richter scale, which is a pretty major earthquake. But it was basically between Jamaica and Cuba. Haven't heard, haven't seen, haven't been able to find out anything if there was damage or the, you know, tsunamis that are caused by it or what. But just saw a blurb, oh, little earthquake down there, 7.7. And, you know, we've seen them over on the, off the West Coast in that Pacific Rim, from Australia to Japan to Russia to Canada to Alaska and then down the West, our West Coast. But they're a bit more rare. You just don't see that many of them over in the Caribbean and off of our eastern coast. But we're seeing more and more of them. And so, yeah, things are changing. We are, like you said, John, we are seeing things of biblical proportion. Those locust swarms, that was just unimaginable. I saw a couple of pictures of that. But there they are, you know, larger than anything they've ever seen before. I think we're seeing...
We're certainly seeing Mark 13, 5 through 9, you know, come to pass, where it talks about wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and famines and, you know, and it says to be on our guard, they'll deliver the courts and you'll be flogged and stand before governors and kings. And if people aren't standing before those situations, if Christians aren't standing before those things in actual physical presence, they're certainly being tried in the court of, you know, association or belief. I mean, they put words in your mouth and falsely accuse you of what you believe or what you'll do. And it's just like John said, they know the Bible full well, and we're seeing that along to make sure that we're not misled, you know. And it says, do not be frightened. That's another thing. I think there's a lot of fear porn in this day and age, whether it's the coronavirus or some of these other things, and they may be big, but they're not bigger than God. And God is capable of minimizing or destroying or mitigating those things. Psalm 91, it won't come close to our tent. I mean, we see those things about us, you know, and we're commanded not to be frightened from them, but we're also commanded to pray. And I think that's a really key element in all those things as far as our deliverance goes.
Absolutely.
Well, again, Remnant, phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. Got a text from a brother out in Minnesota. He said, regarding the locust, he said, it just proves that God feeds the people of Africa too, because locusts are edible. And I laughed and I said, yeah, but maybe I'm good with the food we have. But these things that are happening, and the people just aren't realizing. They don't see that handwriting on the wall. They don't. It just doesn't. And, you know, Tim, like you mentioned about the in Mark, about, you know, people being persecuted and having to stand up before the governors and whatnot. Jason, you had mentioned something about our friend down in Denver, Jack Phillips, the baker. You want to maybe comment on that while we still have time?
Yeah, I was just going to tell you that he just got a book deal. I mean, that was basically it, but he's still plugging away, you know, so not much to be said about it.
Well, praise God. His story will get out there.
Yeah, and hopefully it does. Is. You know?
Yes.
And I was talk about, you know, this coronavirus a little bit. You know, it's kind of interesting because, you know, these things are you know, the things are going on, and they're real. You know, like John said several times, the Psalms 91 are bust, and I think that, you know, I was thinking about it the other day, and it's like, you know, it was kind of hit me. I remember back in 1991, you know, it was the camp theme was Psalms 91 for 1991, and I was thinking to myself, man, that's been 10 years ago, and it's like, no, that's been 20 years ago. It's just how time flies. But Colonel Jack Moore, he did a thing on Psalms 91 and the 91st Brigade, and I'm just going to read the first part of it because it's you know, it's basically really telling, and it shows you the importance of, you know, reciting that 91st Psalm. It says, during World War One, the 91st Infantry Brigade of the U.S. Army was preparing to enter combat in Europe. Most of the men were green soldiers who had never seen combat. Its commander, a devout Christian, called an assembly of his men, where he gave each of them a little card on which was printed the 91st Psalm. They agreed to recite the soldier's psalm daily. The 91st Brigade was one engaged in three of the bloodiest battles of World War I, Chattanooga, Theory, Bellawood, and the Argonon, while other American units similarly engaged had up to 90% casualties. The 91st Brigade did not suffer a single combat-related casualty. End of story.
Awesome.
Amen.
You know, that's the power of the 91st Psalm. That's the power of, it's not about the power of Psalm. It's about inflicting that and calling upon that to be part of your life. You know, and as people are calling for, you know, the sky is falling with this coronavirus, well, let me tell you something. God don't need a coronavirus to kill you. He can do it any way he wants, any time he wants. End of story. You need to be ready, you know, in season, out of season, and, you know, be ready. Don't have the mentality, as many do, as, well, you know, I'll take care of that next week. I'm going to work on that next week, or I'm going to take care of it. You know, you live every day like it's your last day, you know, because nobody knows the day nor the hour, you know, that Christ is going to return or that they're going to bite the dust. You know, and that's just, you know, that's just the facts of life. But it's important, you know, to understand that, you know, there's people, I know that there's people out there that are going out and buying cases of hand sanitizer, and they're buying cases of this and cases of that, and they're preparing for the end of the world with this coronavirus. Well, you know, it's in God's control. You know, the most number one thing that you can do is have your heart and mind and right with God. And I think that just like this 91st Brigade did, you know, join that 91st Infantry Brigade and recite that 91st Psalm daily. You know, that's important. If you don't get it done every day, is God going to strike you down? No, I don't believe he's going to, but I think that it's important that you have that mentality that, you know, it's something that I want to do. I want to be a good soldier. I want to be a Christian soldier, and that's what I'm going to do. You know, that being said, there's a lot of people that are, you know, oh, you got to go get your vaccination. Oh, we got to get this vaccination. We got to do this vaccination. No, you know, you look at that vaccination is a carrier, not a protector. You know, it's one of the reasons that this thing has spread like it has is, because it's, you know, people are injecting themselves with a live virus. And that's why it's spreading like crazy. You know, you can put people into quarantine for a while, but a lot of those, vaccines are able to hold that live virus in quarantine in the body for an extended period of time, which is one of the things that they weren't able to do it in the past. You know, that being said, is there things that people can do? Absolutely. There's things that people should be doing, you know, for any of the flus. You know, we've had, you know, I've talked to people that have been talking about the sky is falling over this new flu virus, this coronavirus, and it's like, okay, yeah, well, did you forget about bird flu? Did you forget about swine flu? Did you forget about N1H1? They were doing the same things with all three of those flus that every year, every couple of years, you know, there's a, you know, the sky is falling and we're all going to die because of this flu virus. And that's been going on for years, you know, for I don't know how many years, and I know I missed a couple of them. You know, but the truth of the matter is, yeah, getting your vaccination, no, it's not going to do a bit of good, you know, to do that.
It will for them.
You know,
spread it.
You're just part of, yeah, exactly. But it was kind of interesting to me, so I went down to a local DO's office the other day. They had to drop off some product, and I got a few minutes to talk to her, and they had a big sign on the wall, and it said, you know, if you are infected with the influenza virus or believe that you're infected with the influenza virus, best thing you can do, take LDM, take your vitamin D3, and take vitamin C. And, you know, basically said that this sign works better than anything else that you can do. And when I was talking with her, it was pretty neat because she was telling me that she's had people that have come in and they've done blood tests and they've had the influenza virus, and in 3 days they're 100% over it doing this protocol. So that there's nothing else out there that even, you can have Tamiflu, you can have, you know, that helps with the symptoms of flu, but it doesn't kill the flu. It doesn't get rid of it, and it doesn't increase, you know, how fast you get rid of it. I mean, there's all these things, there's all these different protocols that there's out there that they can do in the medical establishment. LDM, vitamin D3, and vitamin C, which are three, you got an herb, you got something that comes from the sun, and you got something that's basically present in every plant in that grows under the face of the sun. And, you know, that is the best cure for the flu virus. And I thought that was pretty interesting and pretty exciting. You know, so there's things that people can do. And I encourage people to order the LDM story from Scriptures for America. It tells about a story when people were dying like flies of the flu, and they'd go into these communities, and where people were using these herbs, there was no death. I mean, they didn't lose anybody. They were constantly infected with it, but they didn't die. There's things, you know, God's got his hand in all of this. And, you know, number one, 91st Psalms, you know, trust in him, you know, abide in him, continue to be there. But there's also things that a person can do on the health aspect and be informed.
I was going to say, wash it all down with Psalm 91.
Amen.
Definitely.
Yep.
We should call the salt.
That's right. And you're right, Jason, because, you know, many people, they do. They call the ministry and ask, you know, well, what can I do? What do we do? And man, I'm so glad you mentioned that this morning, because, you know, we are to do both those things. We're not just to believe in our faith. We have to do. And the pastor, you know, he told us that faith was a verb, was an action word. And so we do have to believe. We do have to, you know, pray Psalms 91. I've got the bookmarker right here. And we, just to let you guys know, we've been sending them out. People have been calling and asking and emailing and requesting it. We've been sending them out. And so we have to do that. We have to pray. We have to believe. We have to call on God and do our best to be living that godly life as much as possible. You know, for salvation, so that we earn our place into heaven? No. But it, you know, that godly life, part of it's a lifestyle. Choosing what you're going to do, what you're going to think, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, how much you're going to drink. Those types of things we have to do, and then it comes to those supplements. You know, we know, we've heard our whole lives how bad our food is. You know, you can't eat organic vegetables all the time, and so we have to supplement. We have to supplement, and so yeah, hopefully you are the C, the D3, and the LDM, and we have sent many bottles. Every time I go down to Colorado, I've got to get another box or two of LDM from Jason, because it's flying off the shelves. I need two more boxes this weekend. I'm down to zero here, because the last couple we had, they've gone out the door. They went out in the mail yesterday. And so people are hearing it. They are doing it. But that's what we have to do. We have to pray. We have to live our life right, absolutely, and do our best to do that. And, you know, it's kind of like worshiping God, in my opinion, in truth and in spirit. You have to do all you can physically and all you can spiritually. You know, what's the saying? You work like it's all up to you, and you pray knowing it's all up to God. And you can't do just one. It takes both. It does. When you read Psalms 91, you see that. Yeah, you see that very thing. John?
Pastor always told us that the enemy, it's a rule of warfare that the enemy has to tell you what their plan is. Well, Bill Gates predicted the corona-like virus outbreak down to its starting in the Chinese market in the 2019 Netflix documentary show called The Next Pandemic. In late 2019, billionaire Bill Gates predicted a killer virus could originate in China, China's wet markets, to rapidly infect the world. Yes, I mean, you can read the story about it, but bottom line is they tell us what their plans are.
They do. You know, Pastor taught on that. They tell us in their stories, in their books, either what they've done or what they want to do. And, yeah, they have. Boy, when you look at the details on this virus, you know, how the thousands, and all you can go by is, you know, you try to look at some different news articles on it, but I think China borders 14 nations, and they basically sealed their borders. You know, Afghanistan, India, Laos, Mongolia, Pakistan, Russia, North Korea, Nepal. They basically stopped, you know, people from going in or out. A lot of the airlines have just shut down travel. United Airlines, and in the United States, the pilots' union put out an emergency injunction against, you know, recommending their pilots, hey, turn down flights to China. It's for your own good. And that the union would back them in that. And so it's getting, you know, they're saying that
you've got to realize
it's already outgrown
too, the fact that
go ahead, John.
Go ahead.
No, go.
You got to realize too that over the years our commerce has been taken over by China. So places like Walmart and Target and all that, they are really going to feel the pinch. And if you have investments in the stock market and companies that you know, moved over into China, I think the stock market lost 650 points on Friday based on this coronavirus and what's going on. So it could seriously affect the U.S. specifically, because in our foolishness we allowed so much of our industry to be exported into China. In fact, it was, you know, basically President Trump who's finally, by lowering taxes and lowering tariffs and raising tariffs and things like that, making it where U.S. companies are reconsidering moving back to the U.S. So it's interesting times we're living in, for sure. And like you said, there's things that God's given us in the natural realm, and obviously the spiritual realm too. It's a spiritual warfare.
Amen.
That's what I was trying to tell those people last night when I'm saying, you don't think that they would let that virus out? And they're like, oh no, why would they want to kill their people? Oh gee, I don't know. Go look at the Georgia Guidestones, the very first one of their commandments. And I said, the problem with the world today is that the churches for years taught everybody Jesus loves me, but that's all they taught them. They didn't teach them that there are those that roam like roaring lions seeking someone to devour, that come only to steal, kill, and destroy. And we are so naive that we don't believe that there's people who, that's their purpose.
Yeah.
And that they revel in glee over those that are suffering. In fact, you know what? If this sickness causes more pain and prolongs your death, then all the better for them. If it kills you too fast, then it doesn't accomplish the goal. Suffering.
Right. Well, guys, we've got a minute. We got a caller. Let's see if we can get this caller on. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, morning, brothers. This is Patrick in Minnesota.
Good morning, Patrick.
Hey, Patrick.
You know, we're morning, John and Jason. You know, we're talking
morning.
About, you guys were talking about this coronavirus and, you know, and you know, the bird flu and you know, all these outbreaks in the world, you know, it's all to cause fear and confusion. And you know, I don't know how many places in the Bible where it tells us do not fear, do not be afraid. And just here, just recently, I just kind of looked back on Exodus 20:20, where Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you, and in order that the fear of him may remain with you, so you may not sin. You know, Exodus 20:20, here we are in 2020. You know, this is all to scare the people, and you know, talk about you know, the government coming against us, taking your guns. You know, it's just the scare us all, and we all just got to remember, you know, it is God who fights for us.
Amen.
I remember where you know, I see where it's posted online a lot, where it says, well, you know, the government's got more guns, they got the helicopters, they got this and that. Well, you know, helicopters can't fly when God is dropping hailstones the size of Greyhound buses. You know, we just gotta remain calm and you know, just like they said, remain calm. The big phrase during World War II in England. So, yeah, we got to leave it up to God. So,
amen. Amen.
Amen.
Patrick, thanks so much, brother. God bless.
God bless. You guys have a good weekend. See you tomorrow in church.
All right. Thanks. Amen. Well, folks, that's all the time we've got. And we do want to invite you to church tomorrow. You can join us at the La Porte Church of Christ. If you go to your website, our website, scripturesforamerica.org, and click on the live video stream, that'll fire up at 8:30 a.m. Mountain. That'll be 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. And we'll have a program for you in the morning. And we do invite you to come and to fellowship with us. Anytime that you can do that, anytime that you cannot forsake the assembly, you need to do that. You need to not forsake it, even if it is on the computer. And so we do invite you to join us. We'll have John looking forward to your live message, and we'll have a timeless pulpit truth and a review of the news. We'll have communion and some music. And so take the time, make the choice to do that, to come and to join us for church. So we hope you do that. Men, thanks for being with us. And Remnant, we will hopefully see you in church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, stay high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more, stay high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Thank you.